Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby, and Happy New Year. I wrote in my Reflections of the One Life book, Daily Pointers to Enlightenment, that, well, there really is no New Year, ultimately. That's a thought, and time is only known through thinking, and therefore Happy New Now. Just doesn't sound as good. So I want to talk about a couple of things. I mean, this is the last episode of the season. It may or may not come out on New Year's, but I want to talk about New Year's resolutions. It's the perfect topic to merge what I've been talking about with things that people just know about. Anybody knows about this. When you try to lose weight, you know, New Year's resolution, or connect with more people, or drop this compulsion, or whatever, be more like this. And then, you know, by February or March, basically doing the same habits as always, or back to the same patterns. Some people have some success. I've heard a few stories, but mostly it's like, no, I don't really even do your New Year's resolutions anymore. And I have the reason for it. And I think you know it if you follow this work. Emotional repression creates self-sabotage. It's a real simple understand. It's hard to understand. Maybe if you do the work, it's obvious. It's in direct experience. But I think it's also simple to understand if you haven't done this work, which it's not the beliefs or the stories or the so-called blocks that we're conscious of that really stop us in self-sabotage. Those things are, well, they are, they do, but they're created by the buried emotions. And if you process blocks, beliefs, core limiting beliefs, deficiency stories, the sense of lack, you're just like skirting around the issue because it's all created from something that's under the water, let's say, the proverbial iceberg. Think of it this way. Imagine an iceberg. At the tip could be like, I'm not good enough. That feeling. Maybe you're aware of the thought, but it's a feeling. But because you can feel it, you're conscious of it, it's not the repression. But maybe you have like, you want to write an email to your boss and change departments, but like, you don't do it. You procrastinate. You're aware of the procrastination, though. See, you're not aware of the buried anger, sadness that drives it. Let's say you've been meaning to like fix your car, something about your car, but you now it's 4 months later. You're aware of all that and the worry around it, but you're not aware of what drives it, which is the buried emotions. Now, why would buried emotions drive that? Because since you were a kid, think about this. This is something really precious and simple, is that we were little kids and we had emotions. We still do. We have all the emotions available to us. No matter how much spiritual work you do, you can't eradicate energy. So we come to spirituality like we were when we were kids, still holding back certain emotions because it wasn't safe with mom and dad or at school. We couldn't show these things, and we don't even know the emotions that we've repressed. Repression happens outside of our consciousness when we're kids. We might be aware of like pushing tears down or something, or pushing anger down, but that's more like suppression, just to make a distinction. And so look, what makes us precious and innocent, but is that because we can't feel and express what's true when we're kids, we have to identify, we're forced to identify with what's false. And that includes, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, and whatever else, what other limitations that we can believe unconsciously as children to what? Get our needs met, the needs that were not met by parents, which means when we believe something about ourselves, even if it blocks us, it keeps us safe. That's a need from buried emotions. If I want this career to start, but I can't get it started, well, that keeps me safe in this way, because not only am I safe from buried emotions by not doing things that might stir up that buried anger, for example, but also I get love this way. You see, being our authentic self for many people is like, no, I can't really feel and express what's true. I can't be myself. And so we settle for what we've always settled for. These blocks, these core limiting beliefs, these deficiency stories, which although it's suffering, it's our system creates that for survival of a false self that we never were, but that we had to believe with all the trappings of that. And so, you know, look, I've been a teacher for 16 years. I've written books. I've developed inquiries. And I'm telling you, self-sabotage is incredibly challenging because it's our suffering, actually. To really end self-sabotage, you have to end suffering and really discover what you are, your true essence as presence, your awakeness, and embody that. Because the buried emotions will continuously produce something. Even for me, it was even disease. The chronic pain stopped me in so many ways, even though it wasn't like a psychological block, you know, when I wanted to do something. So if you understand that, two things come together here on New Year's Eve or New Year's 2025 here in KI. One is KI and the other is an influence from James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, hence the title, Atomic Resolutions for the New Year. Well, KI works at the level below the, let's say put the iceberg up in your mind. We work at the level below the water with emotions that don't arise. We bring them into awareness in a particular way that is safe and effective so that the suffering at the tip, which means the blocks that you experience in your life, go away. Keeping it that simple, then, I always complicated it. We always do, because we have to stay safe and get love, those childhood needs. And so we might say, well, I'm going to do this practice to like remove these blocks. And then some stories kind of feel lighter or they're gone, but then we still don't put up the website. Or we put it up, but we can't follow through with, you know, this is us being the same children at the unconscious level that we've always been emotionally, you could say. Even if we have a persona that looks like it really has things in order, repression arises as like the perfectionist, the achiever. These are people who are really successful are driven by buried emotions. If you had unconscious parents, you have buried emotions. So basically everyone who, you know, has a New Year's resolution, no matter what you say, I want to do this or I want to drop this, at the unconscious level, you still want to stay safe, get love, approval, same childhood needs. And that's why, coming from buried emotions, that's why this New Year's resolutions don't work. Look at the iceberg. So imagine at the tip of the iceberg, there's you saying, I want to connect with people more this year. But you're not aware of the, first of all, that could be the buried emotions driving you to connect in some way that is like to get needs met. I mean, that can be the case. But the point is, if you make the decision at the conscious level, at the tip, by March, if your life hasn't changed much, it's because under the water, the agenda was always the same from January to March. Stay safe. Stay inside. Get love that way. I mean, by being something false, if you went out and actually just connected with people, you might have to be authentic. You put yourself at risk of getting hurt or rejected or, you know, losing someone. These are our childhood fears, our core fears that would sabotage something like that and we wouldn't even know it. Because at the conscious or the tip, we have stories and they distract us. You know it. It's like that's what we come to sort of investigate in like therapy or even many forms of spirituality or the stories or the identity of a separate self. But look, even all of that, the sense of I'm a separate self comes because I don't know who or what I am if I have buried emotions. I've been, you know, every human being is just blocking themselves in some way. Even people who are really successful, internally they struggle. They have internal criticism. Some people have pushed it down really far. Some people hear it and feel it, but they never show it. And some people just, you know, kind of suffer on the outside. But the truth is as long as there's repression, there's some form of blocking ourselves, which means some form of suffering. And the quicker we are to like own it, to say, oh yeah, there's suffering, then we can end it. And really, there's Oliver Green, really being free and like living a life in which we can have what we want or live the life that we want. I mean, that's the whole thing about The Secret. Even though I joke around and say The Secret is buried, it is. But that's good news, because you can process buried emotions. Imagine if you didn't know why you sabotage yourself. See, with KI, we've discovered it. So it's really good news, actually. But it certainly changes the New Year's resolutions. Because if you really understand this, then you know, well, you can't just make a decision at the surface and expect your life to truly transform. I mean, again, some people have successes from time to time. You know, even a blind squirrel gets a nut, as someone said. Because we're saboteurs at heart until we process the trauma. We have to be. And that's something that I say to people when you come and do this work. Have a mature understanding. Don't set out to just do something as if you can just drop all of the past that you're carrying in your body right now and then do something different. It's not a very mature way to look at it. If you understand how repression works, and if you look at your own life and that how that's probably never really worked. So what I say to people is, like, if you really want to get serious, put KI together with the principles of James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, which is, they have to go together though, because he again works at the tip. He's writing his book at the tip of the iceberg for people who are conscious of what they're conscious of, but there's no mention of buried emotions. That's a big missing thing. But KI comes right in there, like it does with a lot of modalities and points below the water. And then the two together. See, I don't really endorse KI with anything. And I'll tell you why on a different podcast. Because it's a pure modality that really works if you stick to the core fears. But if you mix and match things with it, your system will take over quite easily with its own default conditioning and just create a bypass. I've seen it so many times. There are heads spinning still from it. But if you put these two things together, James Clear's Atomic Habits, the principles of it, and the KI skills in context, like in mentorship especially. Actually, the intensive is the only place where I put these things together, the Atomic Habits and KI. I don't do it in the mentorship program because there's not enough time with people. But in this new 90-day intensive, like, I mean, this is the most exciting thing I've ever been involved in, because I get to spend the kind of time with people, at least in the beginning until they're on their feet more, that Dan and I used to spend. You know, we developed this work sitting in a hot tub, just quietly like this, which is how I sit most of the time, unless I'm doing a podcast, but then doing inquiry, because the more we just rested and saw things coming and going or plucked a few things up and just that quiet presence, which for me was always there. Dan had come. It wasn't quite his recognition yet, but he had had experiences. You know, both of us were avoiding buried anger. So, but it was our relationship, the synergy of that and the time we got to spend together that created such freedom for both of us and KI. So I've not been able to do that with people because it takes a certain amount of time to be in someone's life. And that's where the intensive came from. Not to develop work, but to do it. And so therefore we have enough space to work with habits. So this has nothing to do with New Year's resolutions. I'm just podcasting about it because even though we do it all year round, I think it becomes relevant for people when they look back, they just reflect back on a year. People tend to do that and say, well, what's still happening in my life? What patterns are still there that have been there a long time, or even new ones that are, even though I might have an intention towards this or that, like a resolution, it's just not happening. And what can I do differently? And boy, you have to be careful. You know, as soon as you start saying, well, what can I do now? Because if we have buried emotions, remember, we're always on an avoidant path. Don't believe me. Just stay on the path and see. But like, you know, as soon as we say, oh, let's look for something else, that's the unconsciousness looking along with our so-called true self, whatever that may be. And we usually find something that might give us hope. And I keep saying to people, watch for the three signs. And here around New Year's is when you can see it a lot. It's like the first sign is people are suffering. The three signs of the avoidant path, the avoidant life, is we're suffering. And then we look for something. Just like people do in New Year's resolutions. What can I look for to help me change or alleviate my suffering? But then because we don't get to the buried emotions that produce it all, it doesn't work. And then by March, we're back to the same patterns. I mean, if you look at a human life, it's not really limited to an avoidant spiritual path. That's our word for bypassing, our phrase. It's really an avoidant human life because we've, since kids, this is what we do. We do it with everything until we're conscious. So, three signs aside, how can you make a difference? Well, I say I'm weary to even say, hey, I got something for you. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, I had so many addictions earlier in my life and had so many attempts to try to get rid of them until I realized, that the addictions are driven by shame. The attempts to get rid of them are driven by shame. And I'm just still trying to get dad's love and approval from my buried anger. So you can imagine that I changed course. And finally, it worked to stop trying. Basically, that's one of the mottos of KI. You can finally stop trying. Just process your shit and you don't have to try anymore. You can just be in flow. But my God, if you try anything that doesn't get to the buried stuff, good luck on the resolutions. So I looked up the word resolution. I did a little bit of research before this. And I read James Clear's book a long time ago, so that's already downloaded into my consciousness. But I just thumbed through it a few times afterwards, too, to kind of pick apart what is he really saying? Because there's some wisdom there, and I do recommend that book. And then I recommend you come and work with me or one of us, because you put those two things together. I've been calling it this year atomic inquiry, joking to some of the people that I'm working with, and I think they would agree, because it's all about habits. Let me just blend the two now and explain it, how it works when I work with people in the intensive. So my suggestion, if you're reading James Clear's book, is even to have the iceberg notion in your consciousness to understand he's never talking about what's under the water. He's trying to help people who are experiencing difficulty at the surface of the water with achieving, doing, not sabotaging themselves. But there's no mention of anything below the water. So as you listen to me, I want you to keep the iceberg in your consciousness and understand I'm always talking about above and below the water. And that's where James's ideas and techniques blend well with KI. He's working at the tip. We're working below the water. So when I start working with somebody in an intensive, well, I already know they came because they have the primary habit of suffering. And that is a habit that's unconscious, driven by the conditioning of trauma, technically speaking. But it's really buried emotions. It's fear and mind-body connections around emotions, being afraid of certain emotions. These emotions are frozen in our bodies. So I think it's more accurate to call it repression, buried emotions. Okay, so that's the source of the suffering. You know, the science says these emotional regulation, repression, especially, drives a lot of suffering. So their main habit is already, what is the suffering? Is to get needs met. We actually have, with our utility inquiry here, which I gave you guys on the Avoidance Guide to Authentic Spirituality podcast, utility inquiry and journal shows you when you first start KI that when you believe something that blocks you, for example. Let's say you want to do some New Year's resolution, but then the belief, I'm just not good enough, comes up to block you. With utility inquiry in our work, you would discover that you believe that you're not good enough, but that you stay safe and get love by believing that. Those needs are met through suffering. When you were a child, you had needs and they weren't met, and so you suffered, and that's how, you know, the needs are met through suffering. We tested this out over a long time, many years, and saw that virtually all suffering comes down to those basic needs for safety, love, approval, in some cases validation, attention, the basic needs. But remember, when you're doing KI, it's really about the fundamental need being met. If you want to go all the way, it's waking up to your true nature, awareness. That need was not met when we were kids, and then we couldn't allow it all. If we could wake up to awareness and allow it all, we wouldn't suffer. There's the fundamental need being met. But since that wasn't met, here we are as adults making resolutions and sabotaging that because unconsciously the repression says, no, I want to stay safe and get love. And we never hear it. We only hear our resolutions and our stories about failure or our attempts to try again. We never hear that it's because it's not safe to be my authentic self. To truly like do this or that, I'd have to go out and just kill it in some way. And when fear is driving us, the mechanism of safety is in control of it all, the survival mechanism, when we set our intention. And so, I don't know. To me, it has to be both. So what is James? It has to be process the buried emotions, that's KI. And then James says some really wonderful things about what we should be aware of here at the so-called tip, which is just our everyday consciousness. So let me show you how they work together when I'm doing an intensive. People have the habit of suffering. So I say, right, start with what you already, when you do something automatically, you don't have to think about it. And suffering is like that. So are addictions, but even like brushing your teeth, anything that's habitual is something, once it's in your system, it's just how it happens. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to make a plan. You don't have to go read a book or do inquiry to go to porn every day, for example, or whatever it is. So you want to recognize that about your life and start to learn and see, well, you know how to have habits. You know how to do something every day or regularly, even if it's suffering, because KI will show you where that comes from. It'll show you why it comes, which is, again, to stay safe and get love. That's something that you'll actually see in your experience, in your body, which will be deeply transformative, actually. But, you know, in the beginning, that's a process to actually become conscious of that, and that's why it's transformative. It happens. It's like an unfolding. That it's like inquiries that you apply to your life. But the point being is, until you become more conscious of the thing that drives you under the water, so to speak, then we don't necessarily have a good framework for what we're doing at the tip. So if I say, well, I want to put up that website, that's an intention that arises in my everyday consciousness for a New Year's resolution. Okay, but I'm not aware of whatever is driving both my intention to do that. See, because even putting up a website could be trying to get needs met for love and approval. Many people who are like overachievers are very successful. That doesn't mean they're not driven by the same needs. But that might be the case. But also, what if it's not? What if there's like a really pure thing there mixed in with it even? That's what I found is like, I love writing music and I wanted your love and approval. It was both. I love teaching and I also want your love and approval and to stay safe from my buried anger. It was always like both. So it's like, how do you free yourself from the shackles of the part that is such suffering, like getting needs met? Well, that's KI. But what James says is smart. He says, look, if you're going to do anything, stack it onto something that you already do habitually. And it's so weird, we use the same word stacking in a somewhat different context, but there's really alignment there because He's wise for somebody who doesn't do trauma work, I have to say, about how humans operate. Because in so many ways, because, and that's just what I employ. See, because you can't really end suffering with James work. You really can't. He doesn't get to the root of it. And so that's all I'll say about that. But with KI and him together, what he's saying is that, let me give you an example that he says more eloquently than I can probably, is that if I want to become an Olympic swimmer, and I was a swimmer from the time I was a little until 21, if I want to make it to the Olympics, he's totally right. This was my life. When I was a little kid, of course I had the idea that I want to go to the Olympics because I was a little swimmer. But what did I do? I just got in the water every day. And, you know, he makes it, it's a little bit unrealistic how he says it, but he's right. If I didn't have a coach there yelling at me or telling me to get in the water, the first day I could have just gotten in the water. Can you imagine if a kid has that much freedom to really develop whatever they want? They just don't want to do it. They don't want to do a swim practice. I just want to get in the water for like 2 minutes and see how cold it is and get out. And then go dry off and go into the hot shower. That feels better. But no, I was like, get in the water and swim. But like what he's saying is like, you don't start that way. Successful people don't start that way. They don't wake up and go, I'm going to win the Olympics. Of course, that's there for them, sort of ultimately like the meta objective. But how they do it is different. They get up, they put their shoes on. It's like jumping in the water. It's like, say I'm a little kid and I jump in the water for 2 minutes, I get out. I'm going to go to the Olympics, but I'm not thinking about that. I got to get in the water first. So the second day I get in the water and I just kind of splash around a little bit. It's a little bit too cold though. So I get out again, I go to the hot showers. I do that for a few days, but then I start swimming around on like the fourth day or the fifth day. And then I get out, but you know, I only do like 2 minutes each day. That's what he says. Just do 2 minutes. Because if you try to override your resistance, that's the sabotage. And then what I would say from a KI perspective, and this is so wonderful, the marriage between the two, is that we're trying to stay safe, right? Because we have sabotage, we have resistance because we don't process our emotions from a very early age. So even if we have an intention, we're afraid to follow through. We do it to ourselves. And so instead of doing that sabotage to ourselves, if a child or a person could be free to just get into the water for 2 minutes each day and then eventually swim, but only swim for 2 minutes. And then maybe down the road next week or a couple of weeks, maybe 4 minutes, maybe, you know, or 5 minutes, 10. Okay, but now by the second month, it's like, well, now I'm swimming every day. It's natural. It's part of what I do. And having been forced to get in the pool and just start swimming, because you can't be yourself as a kid. Parents are unconscious and coaches and anxious. You know, they don't give children the freedom. Maybe it's too expensive to give the child freedom. Just go to the pool every day. Do whatever happens. You want to go to the Olympics? Well, just at least walk up to the doors of the pool. Do whatever you need to do for 2 minutes or whatever. I mean, that child could really discover their own way. See, we have to process buried emotions. We can't have traumatized children and then try and teach them how to have good habits, because then they'll just be overachievers and then they'll be in therapy or spirituality within so many years anyway. So I'm not proposing at all, go do the thing in his book. I'm saying put it together, because with the wisdom of KI, you can see why you suffer each day. You can see why you believe this each day, why you go to porn addiction each day. You see it directly, both in utility journaling and in the process. You actually see, I have to believe I'm not good enough, so that even though I want to make it to the Olympics, I'm not going to swim. I don't want to. I'm going to resist it. And so when I swam growing up, yeah, I did it every day. I got in the pool. My coach told me to. But I was an anger repressor. So not dealing with my resistance, I just buried it. And I achieved a lot as a swimmer, actually. Like almost every year, most valuable swimmer, top 10 in my state. But see, that wasn't me being authentic. I developed the habit of swimming and practicing every day, but it wasn't, of course, and it worked, but it didn't work because I quit. I mean, by the time I was in college, you know, I realized I was doing something that I didn't do fully for me, but I wasn't doing anything for me, because when you have repression, you're still doing it to get unmet needs met. You just don't know it. So you put these two things together in intensive, and someone says, well, I want to put up a website, but I believe I'm not good enough. Well, I say, okay, well, James would say, well, whatever you're going to do around the website, do it for 2 minutes a day. And I would say, hold on, because you're trying to override your conditioning. He's right. Make it 2 minutes. He says, make it easy. And I 100% agree. But I say, do 2 minutes of inquiry, because what you are is you still have that conditioning of trauma that's trying to put up that website to get needs met quite often. And you don't know that. And that's a recipe for it not working out. Because if you can't open to those buried emotions, you'll be driven by those needs, but also you will suffer because of that. But what about 2 minutes of inquiry every time you don't want to do something to put the website up? What about 2 minutes of inquiry about how I don't want to do anything more than jump in the pool on the first day? Because see, then it's a transformation. It's not just like an unconscious being trying to create new habits. That doesn't really work. It's like working against yourself. But what if by creating a new habit or looking into your habits, you're actually transforming? So 2 minutes of inquiry, I get into the pool. That's fine. The next day, 2 minutes of inquiry. I don't want to get into the pool, but I process it. Now I can just get in. By the second week, now I'm getting in the pool and enjoying it because I worked with the resistance to it. And I totally understand that, because let me tell you how I know that James Clear's work and this work works together. Because see, I had buried anger, and that was my resistance to working out and swimming when I was a kid, because I did want to swim. I'm actually like that physical part of me, but I couldn't do it my way, and I was forced into it, so I buried the anger. So I never got to enjoy sports and working out just for me, and I carried that buried anger into adulthood. And when I would go to the gym or jump in the pool, it'd be like, I can't keep it going for some reason. I wanted to go every day, but I really struggled with that. Sometimes I would, and I wondered, well, am I just trying to get needs met? Do I just want to look better? But then I did all that work and I realized, no, there's something else there. I actually don't want to just sit on my couch all the time. Like, I want to live a certain life, but the anger repression was stopping me. And I didn't know it. Just like if you decide to go to the gym, how would you know that buried anger or hurt or sadness is stopping you when you've got at the tip of the iceberg thoughts about going to the gym and sabotaging whatever thoughts, but unconsciously it's like, no, you're angry. And I'll show you the connection. I would sit outside the gym and I wouldn't be aware, because I have a pretty quiet mind, and I wouldn't be aware of any thoughts that said, I don't want to go. None of that. It would just be like sitting there. In my car for a moment. Quietly. Then maybe, let me turn on Ben Folds 5, that song, The Luckiest. I love that. Listen to that. Oh, Dan, I'm listening to Luckiest. Have you heard that? Because he's a Ben Folds 5 fan. Oh, yes, I love that melody. Yeah, that's awesome. And then, you know, like 15 minutes later, I'm still in my car. And I realize there's something in my body that doesn't want to go. It's not the mind, because I've done enough work and had an awakening. I just know now it's true. The body keeps the score, but I couldn't get to it. It was buried anger. Finally, with repression inquiry, I was literally sitting in my car one day, and through the process of inquiry, I found, oh, I want to go to the gym. I want to go work out, but I can't. It was that simple. My body was saying no. And I found the mind-body connection and the connection to anger. And there was my swim coach and my dad and my consciousness. And I was fucking pissed. I had no idea. I got the most Not well, most valuable swimmer, but I got the best mental attitude my senior year because I never talked back to my coach. And here was this rage right in my chronic pain, right where I didn't want to go into the gym. And that's why people often don't want to be physical. They don't realize emotional repression is in the chronic pain. It's sad because the sabotage merges with the physical diseases and keeps us from doing things. And something like chronic pain, which Dr. Sarno said, if it's coming from repression, that shouldn't stop you from being physical. But that pain that day was like, I'm angry. I'm angry at the coach for just telling me to get in the pool when I didn't want to on certain mornings and I couldn't say anything. I had to be a good boy. So I would guess I would just jump in the pool and not even, see, that's repression. You're not even aware that you're angry. It's not, if you're aware of your anger and you're pushing it down, you're not an anger repressor. Anger repressors can get angry from time to time, but frankly, it's usually explosive because, well, we hold it back and then there it comes. Anyway, the point being, the takeaway of the story is, believe it or not, the science is correct and there's an iceberg sort of consciousness, so you can't see it, that your sabotage on this at the tip of the iceberg are these buried emotions. Happy New Year. When I'm in an intensive with someone, just simple blocks that they've had their whole life, they learn, oh, it's coming from repression. But we use James Clear's, I show it to them how, look, 2 minutes of inquiry, when you go want to go to porn, that's a habit you already do. Stack this inquiry right onto it. You'll do the inquiry every day. Or if you don't, I'll show you and we'll work together and you'll see why you don't, because it's safer not to. It's safer to stuff that anger or hurt down through the porn. But then we'll discover the mechanism that's behind that. Because by actually putting that in the light, how you have an intention to do something and you can't follow through, you become conscious of the mechanism in KI. And James' work just comes in to help you make it easy. It's like, just do 2 minutes. So it's hard to resist it. See? Or if I'm procrastinating, can I do 2 minutes of inquiry on procrastination? It's hard to procrastinate like that. You can. But his work where, you know, he just talks about making it easy to have a consistent, you know, new habits. The best habit I can say to anyone is repression inquiry, because you get to the source of the habit of suffering. And when your suffering starts going away like mine did, self-sabotage goes away. Same thing. And therefore, now you get to live your life. And wow, it's amazing. And you don't make New Year's resolutions when you're living your authentic self, because the resolutions come from the suffering, come from the same self-sabotaging mechanism. It's like a loop that just keeps repeating itself when we don't process buried emotions. But James and KI together makes it like a very doable way to consistently use KI until it's just so natural. Because remember, KI is just about feeling emotions. That's something that you want to do every day. So KI is something you want to bring into your life every day until you don't repress emotions. But tell that to what's under the water, which is the conditioning of buried emotions. It's just, it's not evil. It's not trying to thwart our intentions. It's just conditioning. It's a fear. It's afraid. So no matter what our intentions are, if those intentions in some way interfere with the need to stay safe emotionally and to get love and approval, it's not going to happen. Might see a little bit of benefit here or there, but it's not really going to happen. Look, most of the people that listen to this don't just make resolutions at the start of a year and then just live unconsciously for the rest of the year. There are a lot of people that do that. Making a resolution is not becoming conscious. You know, it's just making a resolution. But when I looked up the word to resolve, it included the word dissolve. And that's what happens when you dissolve buried emotions. your life becomes different. I work out 3 times a day at home, and then I go to the gym every day now. That's the difference. Without effort. Because I worked with the buried anger that I was telling you about that kept me from cleaning my house. My house is always clean. That's another thing. I didn't like cleaning houses because my mom and dad always clean, and I, at a very unconscious level, that was the disconnection. They would clean I would feel that disconnection. And I internalized that and I became against that. Now my house is always clean. For the most part, I mean, yeah, there's some dust on the floor, I see, but and then I work out all that. Why did I go in that direction through this work? Because my suffering was essentially inertia. Buried anger has this class of things like depression, procrastination, powerlessness, helplessness, hopelessness, chronic fatigue, sabotage, avoidance, where our life force is just held back, buried anger. And see, as a kid, I was joyous and free like I am now. I did things like I do now. But because of the trauma, the bullying and all that, you know, my whole suffering was inertia in some way. Just sit here and don't clean, don't work out. See, it's just I was holding myself back from things that I wanted to do because of buried emotions. So it was not just KI, it was also, you know, I really did. I didn't want to clean. Of course, my house was always clean enough, so it wasn't like just filthy, but it was like, that would be the last thing I wanted to do on a day. I wanted to play, or I'd be mentoring or whatever. And then I'd have to clean the house, but I didn't really want to. But so what I would do is like, I woke up in the morning and said 2 minutes of cleaning, and I didn't want to. So I went into inquiry, I don't want to clean. And it was connected to the buried anger from mom and dad. Believe it or not, the science is right. I'm telling you. And that was the reason. So as I processed that, then I just, right after that, I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. I did 2 minutes of cleaning and that was easy. And I did inquiry for the first few days. And then like for the third day, I was like cleaning like 3 minutes. I did it 3 times a day. And then after that, it was just, I was always keeping the house clean. Same with working out. Because I thought, you know, I'm 54 and I've always been like in that inertia. I was this real athlete when I was a kid, very physical. And then when I became older, I just, as an attorney, sat there and did what attorneys do. We sat a lot. And then I just sat in awareness as a teacher. I mean, my gosh. And was that really me? No. Because that was inertia. A lot of spirituality, looking for the stillness, hanging out in the stillness, comes because people have inertia. The need for enlightenment is like the aliveness of that, of course, because our life force is held back. But how do we discover our life force? If it's the buried anger or hurt or sadness that we refuse to look at as we make our resolutions. This is what I work with people from the beginning. From the habit of avoidance, like avoidant attachment style, there's conditioning in the body that's discoverable with that, to addictions, to just the habit of believing things, to the extent it's connected to repression, the inquiry connects it all. And James Clear's book helps us make it easy for ourselves instead of saying, I mean, the last thing you want to say is I'm going to wake up or embody presence or end all my suffering or deal with my shit, because that's like saying, instead of putting my shoes on, I'm going to win the Olympics. And when you bite off more than you can chew, your system, because it needs safety, just says, no, sit on the couch. It doesn't even tell you that. It's not even conscious a lot of the time. That inertia comes from within. It's always protected us, despite our intentions. If we have repression, and we all do. Not everybody has inertia, though. Some people, again, are like, they're the go-getters. Hurt and sadness repressors can be go-getters. All of us are trying to get our needs met, though, until we process buried emotions. And people who are go-getters, that doesn't mean they're doing well. We have facades, and that's the ego. Well, if you're interested in coming to work with me in this intensive, I'm actually not doing, let me explain this, I'll be really transparent about it. I'm not doing monthly mentorship with people unless I meet with you in a free clarity call, and for some reason it just is the right fit, and I don't need to or want to refer you to one of the other mentors like Dan or Ina. But because it's the intensive, people are signing up for the 90-day intensive. So if that's what you're interested in, there's a link in the description where you can come and talk to me for free to see if the one-on-one is a fit, if you're fairly serious about that. And if, yeah, and so then if not, the same link will show you a description of my Jumpstart group. Every month, people join into a group, and for 1 month, I mentor this group of people to learn KI. At the end of the month, I set them free, so there's no long-term commitment on that. That's for people who really want to learn the work, but they don't want to do the one-on-one. Okay, thank you. I want to say again, I truly mean this. Happy New Year. There's a lot going on in the world. Your internal, your interior awareness or consciousness is more important than ever. No matter what you see on the news, and as the internet changes and AI and deep fake comes more and more into our lives, know who you are and ground yourself in that. And that includes not just like presence practices, because that doesn't get to the root of things. To ground yourself in what you really are, process your buried emotions. Yeah, the presence will make sense after that. Trust me, it'll come into your experience. But I've just talked to so many people in these clarity calls who, through meditation, mindfulness, or seeking awareness, they got sick and they're suffering in different ways. They just didn't end suffering. That's the sabotage of our lives. Because when we're kids, we might have the resolve to grow up and do this or that, and certainly not suffer. But look at what everybody's doing because of the same unmet needs. Thank you for listening.